The Mutual Broadcasting System presents I Love the Mystery. Carlton Morse adventure thriller,
Phil. I hope you don't mind us using your room for a conference hall.
The pleasure's all mine, Packard. Anything to break the monotony.
As long as we don't tire you.
When I get tired, Sonny, you'll hear about it.
That's a promise.
Arthur.
Yes, Phil?
Where's the wheelchair?
I'm through with that baby carriage stuff.
Yeah? How's the arm?
It's in a cast. How do I know?
Well, are we all here?
No. No, we're waiting for Leslie Marks.
Sonny's attorney? What's he got to do with this?
Well, he's in on this with the rest of us. Oh, Reggie.
Yes, Jack?
Open that window. We need a little air in here.
Right.
Draft on you, Sonny?
No. It smells good.
Fog thick enough out there to spit on your bread.
Hey, Long.
Talking to me?
That's right. What are you sitting over there by the door for?
I like it over here.
Yeah, I see you do. Why?
Just a hunch, I reckon.
Knock means he doesn't get caught in the same predicament twice.
I still don't get it.
The last time we were all together in this room, we had visitors.
With guns.
Oh, so that's it.
That's it, fella. Should visitors come again, we're kind of spread out and fighting formation.
I see. You by the door, Packard here by the bed, and York over by the window.
And now you know as much as we do.
But that's fantastic. They wouldn't dare try the same thing again.
You can't tell what a bunch of torpedoes will do. It's just like I always said. Oh, I'll get it. Oh, well, come on in, fella. It's Leslie Marks.
Yes. You were expecting me, I believe?
Yes, come in. Have a chair.
Hello, Leslie.
Good evening, Sonny. How are you, Terry?
Don't bother to ask.
Very well. How's the arm, Arthur?
It's broke. How'd you think it was?
Well, all very pleasant.
Arthur, that's awful.
So what?
Phil, you should say something to Arthur about his manners.
What's the matter with him?
Well, you heard how rude he was to Leslie.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
Never mind, Sonny.
But I do mind. You've been a good friend to me, and I don't care what anybody says or thinks.
What's that?
What?
Has someone been saying I haven't been a good friend to you?
Oh, I didn't mean...
Sure, Marks. I say it.
I see, Terry. That explains a lot of things.
It does?
Yes. I've noticed an antagonism in you against me, and I never understood it until now.
He never understood it till now.
But if you think I've taken advantage of Sonny in some manner, then naturally I can understand your resentment.
That's what I call real deduction.
Phil, I'm interested.
You keep out of this, Packard.
Do you mind telling me why you think Marks is taking advantage of Sonny? And in what way?
I said for you to keep out of this.
All right, let it go.
But, Phil, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Leslie, do you know what Phil's talking about?
I think so.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's hear it.
Phil's disliked me ever since I refused to give you extra money from the estate to maintain him here in this hospital.
Oh, no, Leslie.
Marks, you've said the one thing that you shouldn't ever have said.
Nevertheless, Terry, I believe I'm stating facts. Sonny has paid every expense you've incurred since you were injured a year ago, and I might state that there were plenty of expenses.
Leslie, I forbid you to say another word.
And furthermore, Terry, Sonny has been keeping this lazy, good-for-nothing brother of yours.
What did you call me?
Arthur, you shut up.
What did you call me, Marks?
I called you a lazy, good-for-nothing.
Arthur!
Arthur! That water glass came within an inch of my hip.
I intended for it to brain you.
Arthur!
I'll kill that tinhorn lawyer.
Arthur, I'm talking to you.
What do you want?
Come over here to the bed.
Phil!
Come over here to the bed. Now then.
Phil, don't hit me.
Don't hit you. Why, you little baby-faced punk, I got a notion to smear your nose all over your face. You hear me?
Phil, let go of my collar. You're choking me.
What do you mean, saying you'll kill anybody? Answer me. What do you mean by it?
Phil, you're choking me.
Oh, Phil,
that's
please.
Somebody, punk.
You heard what he said about us.
And I told you to stay out of it, didn't I?
But you can't do anything. You're a cripple, Phil. Oh, Phil.
Don't ever say that to me again. You hear?
Yes, Phil.
Now go and sit down. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what everybody thinks. I'm a cripple. Well, supposing I am.
Oh, no, Phil.
I said supposing I am.
Here, Arthur, drink this. Make your throat feel better.
All right. Well, isn't anybody going to answer me?
Phil, we're getting entirely away from the matter we gathered here to discuss.
What do I know about what you came here to discuss? You called the meeting?
Yes. But I haven't had a chance to get a word in edgewise so far.
Well, you got the floor now, haven't you?
All right. I suppose you all know by this time that I went out to interview Donald Robert Lincoln and got thrown into jail for my trouble.
Yeah, that was great work.
Uh-huh. But I did accomplish one purpose. I've finally given the police a clue to this gang that's been working against us.
What is that?
The service garage where Lincoln has work done on his cars is definitely connected with the mob.
Hey, Jack, I thought you wasn't supposed to tell that.
Well, it's not supposed to be known generally. It's all right among ourselves.
The police are watching that garage?
Yes, but that's a side issue. What I really wanted to tell you was a little incident that happened to Doc and me last night after we were released from jail. Or rather, I want Doc to tell it.
Well, why me, Jack?
Never mind. Let's go out.
Okay. Well, me and Jack come out of the jail and got into Sonny's car that I had parked outside and started for home. When all of a sudden, a couple of torpedoes come up out of the back seat and poke shooting pistols in the backs of her neck.
Doc, more gunmen?
That's right, Sonny.
You boys seem to be plenty unpopular in this town.
Ain't it the truth? Well, they made me drive to a big brown stone house over on Sunshine Street, not so far from here. Then they took us inside.
It was their headquarters?
No, it wasn't, fella. It was a vacant house. Anyway, from their conversation, they was all set to take us down in the basement and finish up the little jobs their playmates messed up on out on the desert.
They were going to kill you?
Well, that was the object of meeting. Only going down the stairs to the basement in the dark, me and Jack done a high dive and got out of their spotlight.
You did what?
They had a flash on us. We dived down the stairs.
But you might have been killed.
Well, shucks, a broken neck or hot lead in your gizzard, you're just as dead either way. Anyway, after that, we played hide-and-go-seek for quite a while with them, when all of a sudden, bam, and somebody let them have it with both barrels of a sawed-off shotgun.
There was somebody else in the basement, too?
No. They shot from outside through the basement window.
He killed them both?
Uh-uh. He was too far off. He just sprayed them with buckshot. But it's good enough. It laid him out long enough for me and Jack to put ropes on him and call the police to come and get him.
So now the police have 7 members of the gang.
Yeah, the 5 we picked up on the desert and these 2 mugs.
That's an interesting point, don't you think so, Marks?
What's that? I don't follow you.
I mean, if the big boss isn't careful, he's going to just about find himself out of gunmen.
Why do you address that to me?
I just thought you might have an opinion.
There seems to be an insinuation behind your remarks.
You haven't an opinion?
No.
I have.
Well, good, Terry. Let's hear it.
I'd say offhand the Richard curse that's been giving Sonny here so much trouble has turned into a gang fight.
Does, doesn't it?
In which case, the more gunmen the police round up, the less trouble Sonny's going to have with the curse.
I differ with you there, Mark.
Why?
Because no matter how many mugs we round up, Sonny's not going to have any peace until we put our finger on the leader.
Oh, yes, the leader.
How do you figure that, Packin?
Well, this riffraff we picked up aren't important. They're just doing what they're told. The man we want is the boss, who knows why. The man who knows why it's important that every man who comes closely associated with Sonny must be killed off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the guy we've got to get.
You really believe that's at the bottom of all this trouble? Someone is trying to keep men away from Sonny?
I know that's it.
But why? That's the thing I can't understand. Why, what difference does it make to anyone who I see or know?
Well, if we knew that fella, then we'd probably know who the buzzard was.
Wait a minute.
Well, Marks?
I'm beginning to understand your insinuation a moment ago, Packard.
Yes?
Anyone interested enough in Sonny to want to keep men away from her would have to be someone close to her.
I think so. Don't you?
Yes. As her attorney and executor, I'm closer to Sonny than anyone else.
Right.
I'm the only man who has been close to her over the past year who hasn't been a victim of the curse.
Let's say the victim of the gang. That's more accurate.
Yes. Therefore, I'm the logical man to suspect.
Now, that's what I call a beautiful analysis.
However, you're wrong.
Maybe.
And I'll point out the flaw in your reasoning.
Go ahead.
What have I to lose or gain by Sonny's association with other men?
That doesn't prove anything. Somebody's guilty and somebody's got a reason. You may have a secret reason just as much as anyone else.
But I haven't.
That's what you say.
I say, Jack.
That's right.
You say it has to be someone close to Sonny.
It seems logical.
Well, who is there closely associated with her? I mean, besides Marks here.
Well, there's Phil Terry here.
Yeah, I'm a great candidate. I got the worst deal of anybody so far.
At least the others are dead and out of their misery.
Phil, dear.
And don't call me dear.
Don't call you dear.
No.
But why?
Well, you're going to marry Packard, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
That's why.
To get back to the subject. After Phil comes Arthur here.
Yeah. He'd make a great leader for a mob, wouldn't he?
I'm just naming over possibilities.
Little Arthur here sure has all the makings.
He won't have when I get through working on him.
I'm doing all right.
Listen, kid, I'm going to make a man out of you if I have to kill you doing it.
Yeah.
Now, we're drifting again. I've got one more candidate.
Well, who's that, Jack?
Donald Robert Lincoln.
Oh, but that's absurd, Jack. Mr. Lincoln isn't close to me.
He was very close to your father. Supposing this thing reaches
Lincoln,
back.
Lincoln, Packard, I think you've got something there.
What do you mean?
I just remember something about Donald Robert Lincoln. About 6 months before Sonny's father was killed, Lincoln and Mr. Richard had a deal.
Oh! Leslie!
Jack, the shot came through the window. There he goes down the fire escape.
Go get him. Doc, go with Reggie.
You bet
here,
you.
Here, let me see.
Leslie.
What does anybody care?
Arthur, you mustn't say that.
Yeah, that mug's had it coming for a long time.
Further transcribed adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie will come to you tomorrow at this same hour. I Love a Mystery, written and directed by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thorson as Jack, Jim Bowles as Doc Long, and Tony Randall as Reggie York. Frank McCarthy speaking.